Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here with my queen, Nikki DeMar.
I'm like so excited to be here.
I was just so excited.
I was just telling TK, like, I love her vlogs and her aesthetic, like the whole like red lip thing, like everything. And it's
thank
giving.
You. Thank you.
Oh my God, that was the old font we used to use on our thumbnails.
Shut up.
We would fight over trash hand.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that's exact. I don't know if that's exactly trash hand, but this in like, I remember Bebas.
Bebas New.
Yeah, that one was an iconic one too.
Alicia just made a TikTok about how all of us would fight over like, your thumbnail looks like mine.
Yeah, she told me all the thumbnail tea.
Trash hand was drama.
Really?
Yeah, and then Bebas New.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, Nikki, welcome to the show. I'm so honored and I'm such a huge fan, so I can't wait to get into everything. Tell us a little bit about what you do, where you're from. You know, I know you started on YouTube.
Yeah.
Now you're a artist.
Yeah. So
I'm so excited.
I started YouTube like literally a decade ago. You guys might know Nikki. You probably know Nikki and Gabby. Yeah. A lot of people say we raised them.
You did.
Yeah, like we were just like opposite twins doing challenges. I had the blue hair. Gabby was like the girly girl. And
I was a blue babe.
Blue babe?
Alicia's like, TK, shut the fuck up. Because I was like obsessed with you. And just your aesthetic, I feel like you were out of that group. Like you were who I gravitated towards the most just because you were like so out there and edgy. And like, not that I'm like that out there and edgy, but
edgy.
I do like the edgy aesthetic. And you, as far as like Nikki and Gabby, I was more of a Nikki girl. Aww. But just that's because your style was so cool. And I remember you wore this like blue, like lace thing to Coachella or something. Yes. And I was like, she's so fucking cool.
Monochromatic before. Oh, yep.
Obsessed.
So you know what's so crazy cool. is like I used to look, it's weird. It's like my Instagram looked like I like had an EP or an album out. I posted like an artist, but I didn't have music.
It was you like ran Instagram. In my eyes.
Honestly, though, my OCD popped out. Like, I, like, struggle with that. But it's, like, perfectionism is sometimes also a good thing, but it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I loved having a curated feed. Mm-hmm. The Cool and Warm Tones thing will haunt me forever. But I feel like I always saw myself doing music. But at the time when I was thriving on YouTube, it's crazy. I had, like, I was repped by like one of the biggest agencies. I had like such a good management. And I kept saying like, I want to do music. And nobody, they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it never just happened because Nikki
for
and Gabby.
For YouTube.
Yeah, because Nikki and Gabby was making so much money that the whole team was like, there's no money in music. We're just going to keep these girls on this. Like, so like I would keep being like, I want to do music. And nobody would like listen to me.
Uh-huh.
And we were making like really great money at a really young age. And our team was happy. And I guess we were comfortable. But mm-hmm. I felt like I was really young to just be comfortable. Like I wanted to do music. Mm-hmm. And
did you always want to do music?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Like I actually remember when YouTube was popping off, I remember I was like, well, I knew I always wanted to connect with people and I knew I always wanted to like have like my group of people and like reach people and connect with them, but I didn't know it was going to be through like telling people about my morning routine and my outfits. I always thought I was going to be a singer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, thank God for YouTube because it's so cool that you have this audience already that knows you so well. So like whatever you get into, we're like, okay, slay. Like I'll be a fan of this now, you know?
Yeah. But I think at one point I was like, uh-oh, I'm like so established as a YouTuber. I think now it's almost going to be harder to tell people or reintroduce to them me as an artist. Mm. It's almost harder to transition than to just start out that way.
Yeah.
But the good part was that I had this audience that really wanted to connect with me. So I knew that they would appreciate me like putting out art because that's how we can connect on a deeper level than a vlog. But I knew that there's a stigma like YouTubers trying to do music, they get money and then they think they can be a pop star. And like I hated that. And I think that's why it took me forever to start actually doing it for real. Mm-hmm. I didn't like actually put out my first like real single with the right backing and the right strategy and everything until the pandemic. Mm. So I was like,
was that Alone in My Car?
Yeah. 24, okay. 25 yes. years old. Yeah.
Love. Great song.
Thanks.
I want to talk about it all. Where did you grow up and what was your childhood like?
Very similar to yours. Okay. Like, you're Indiana, right?
That's probably why, yeah, I stay.
Yeah. I'm a Pennsylvania mm-hmm. girl. Mm-hmm. I was born in
cornfields.
Cornfields, grass, and then in the wintertime, it's just gray everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gray.
Seasonal depression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pennsylvania girl, born and raised, never fucking fit in, ever. I actually tried really hard to fit in high school because that's like, those are the years where like, you just want to be cool.
What were you like in high school? Like, what would your peers describe you as?
Oh my God. It's so weird. I'm actually very similar to who I am now.
Really?
I almost think like I tried harder back then to be cool. I think being an influencer, that still is innate in us. We still want to be accepted and relevant and trendy. And I hate mm-hmm. that. I've been trying really hard to like get away from that actually. But I feel like my early 20s when you were a blue babe was actually the farthest away from myself.
Really?
Yeah. I was going through a lot.
Yeah.
And I think like I've come very full circle. I think in high school I was very carefree.
You seem a lot more relaxed now.
Yeah.
I just have to say as a fan, like
thanks.
You just seem happy, which is awesome.
It's like, cause happiness isn't what we think it is. It's mm-hmm. just being present and not shutting out all the other bullshit your brain wants to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through a lot this year and I do feel like I have a grip of my mental health, which is crazy.
Which is amazing.
I'm going through more now than I was when I wasn't doing the best. But Yeah, I just feel like in high school I was carefree. I was always creating plans with my friends. I was a socialite. I didn't care about dating. I didn't care about, I never wanted to get married, have kids. I just wanted to have fun and mm-hmm. do music.
Really?
So I feel like I am finally, like, I feel like I lost myself a little bit. Okay. And I feel like I came back to myself, like, last year. And I feel like I've actually been called, like, the life of the party now. But I feel like back when you, like, the Blue Babe era, mm-hmm. I was, like, called a Debbie Downer and, like, really? Negative. Yeah. I feel like I know how to have fun now. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was in high school. Like, I always got invited places. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like in my early 20s, like, college, I was going through things, and people just people don't want to be around someone that has such heavy energy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that I felt that, and I just was like, I don't know how to fix this. I was just like a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you play any sports growing up, or were you in like music classes and things like
that?
No,
I was the cheerleader theater kid. It didn't make sense.
I love. And were you and Gabby close growing up?
Very close. Yeah, that's how we started the channel.
Yeah.
We were the only ones, like, in our high school that wanted to make videos that we would get made fun of for, like, doing full beatdowns to go to school. Because people were like, why do they try so hard? It's like, because we enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, so I remember Gabby was obsessed with sock buns.
My gosh, yes.
And I was obsessed with, like, the ombre hair. I was, like, the first one in my high school to get ombre.
Oh, iconic.
But I was.
So did you follow anyone that like did that? Like, did you follow YouTubers? Like, how did you think of the idea of uploading on YouTube?
I always like, I guess I would look at like back in high school was when Instagram started for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember like Ashley Tisdale and Vanessa Hudgens were the queens of Instagram in the early days.
Yeah.
And I really looked at them a lot. And like, I loved Vanessa Hudgens' Coachella style.
Oh my gosh.
And Ashley Tisdale, like her. I don't know.
So
I just,
iconic.
I got this fringe bikini she had on her like 27th birthday. I don't know why I remember this, mm-hmm. but it was like a fringe.
Oh my gosh. I remember the fringe bikinis, that era.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So you were just into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was one of them. I downloaded Pinterest as soon as I heard about it. Mm-hmm. You know how people are sharing on TikTok like their Pinterest board from like 2013?
Yes.
I can go back to that.
Wait, you should do a TikTok.
I should do that.
Yeah,
I don't
for
know
sure.
I have it. Yeah.
You totally should. And you have two other siblings, right?
Yes. I have an older sister, Alex. She's in New York City. Mm-hmm. She does acting on the side and does a whole bunch of really cool, like, businessy jobs in New mm-hmm. York. And then my little brother is 4 years younger, and he's pre-med, but also DJs.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
He sounds like he'll break a girl's heart.
He's so tough, but he's such a softie.
Okay.
Me and him are the most alike in my family. We're like definitely, we're the most sensitive, me and my brother.
Really?
But we both put this tough exterior.
Okay, is that the Taurus?
I probably.
Okay.
But Gabby's very, a different kind of Taurus.
Really?
She's so like unaffected. She'll never know when she's going through something.
Okay.
And then me, I hate that I'm such an open book. But
I mean, that's
so
why you're...
Better.
That's why you connect so well with people, yeah. I feel.
I can't fake it. I feel like almost when I'm faking it, I feel guilt.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm like that.
What about your parents? Are you similar to them? Are you complete opposites? Or who are you most similar to?
I'm such a mix. I grew up, I used to think I was more like my dad because he was the one that got me into film and he's a perfectionist. And I thought I was more like my dad, but... towards the end of my last relationship, I realized I shut down like my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom like kind of like will avoid real big problems, not to call out my mom. She's an avoidant and my dad is like anxious attachment. They're very opposite. But I noticed as I got older, I started becoming more like avoidant. Like I would just, my first EP was called Nights Alone mm-hmm. because I would be so depressed. I would spend my nights alone on a couch avoiding the elephant in the room that my relationship was making me very unhappy. Mm. And, but I could never envision changing my life. So I just stayed mm-hmm. and it's... Do with that information what you will, but I relate to my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like as you get older too, you start to realize your parents aren't like superheroes and you're like, whoa, they're real people. They have real, you know, strengths and weaknesses. And I see a lot of them in myself. It's scary. It's like a weird thing.
It's scary because I also realize like we can get into the house stuff because I know it's been like a big theme on my channel. Mm-hmm. But now that like, I feel like now that I've dealt with real problems in real life and the house was like the residue of a breakup mm-hmm. it felt like a divorce
yeah
because of an asset. Like, now there was a house involved, mm-hmm. finances were involved. And I feel like I'm realizing, like, going through, like, you know, an interest rate, you close on a house. I can't imagine throwing work and four kids in the mix. I have empathy for my parents. Mm-hmm. I have so much empathy. Like, it's so easy to, like, blame your parents. Obviously, we all have trauma. Parents aren't perfect. They don't mean to inflict trauma. Mm-hmm. But
my kids will probably have trauma.
Yes, yes. But I think, like, everyone's doing their best. And mm-hmm. I think I'm realizing now that I get older, I almost am like, sometimes our parents need to be, like, my mom needs to be mothered. Like,
yeah.
I don't need her to keep mothering me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that it's just eye-opening. The older you get, you feel empathy for your parents.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Do you see yourself having kids one day?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want a lot of kids? Because you grew up kind of in a big family.
I don't think a lot.
Okay.
But I definitely, like, I always said I love, like, the artist, like, Pink, because she has the cutest little family, and then she's a touring artist. Like, I want to have both. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks I'm crazy when I say that.
Oh, I don't think it's crazy.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, also, Pink, she's one of those artists that I would hear her stuff on the radio growing up, and now I go back and listen. I'm like, these lyrics are you in your hand.
She's so good. Oh my God. I know. Lately, I've gotten a really big appreciation for her. I feel like when I was little, I was more into, like, the Disney pop stars, but now that I'm getting older,
she's iconic.
Like, who
knew? I would
love
to go to a concert.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. The song Pill is so good.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So good.
She's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so you and Gabby started this iconic YouTube channel, which mm-hmm. was Nikki and Gabby, the actual main channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you make your separate vlog channels? Like, she made Fancy Vlogs, you made what?
Nikki DeMar.
Yeah. Okay, Nikki DeMar.
So we both started those in 2015, just because, like, at the time, every channel, like, you couldn't just post a vlog to your main channel mm-hmm. for some reason. Mm-hmm. But back, like, in 2018, I feel like everyone started, like, making vlogs their main channel.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, yeah, I'm glad that back in the day it was a thing to have a separate channel, because if it was that easy to just upload your own vlog to a main channel, we would have never started those side channels. And now those side channels became our main channels.
Yeah.
And now Nikki and Gabby's just for fun. Because, like, as you get older, like, you don't want to be tied to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, plus, like, YouTube is an art form. And it's like, you don't want to be compromising on your art. Like, you don't want to meet halfway with a song or with lyrics or with a vlog or with a video concept. Like, I get it's a business, but I feel like that's when I was my lowest, because I was an artist not expressing herself. And I feel like once I got, like, the reins of my channel mm-hmm. and quarantine inspired me, and then I was able to do music, and then I was vlogging my life, I started, like, finding passion and motivation and mm-hmm. inspiration, because, like, even though it wasn't as big as Nikki and Gabby, I was able to be more consistent because I loved it.
Mm.
And I felt like it's hard to have consistency when you don't love what you're doing.
100%.
But now we love doing Nikki and Gabby when we do it, because we do it because we want to do it, not because there's, like, a gun to
we
our head.
We have to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, exactly. Did you or do you still make a lot of money from Nikki and Gabby, or are you more so doing your own thing now?
Nikki and Gabby does well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
It's kind of like a well-oiled machine. It's like your Nickelodeon.
it's that thing where it's like, you always hear the Disney stars are like, I'm ending my season. Like, I'm breaking away from Disney. I'm doing my own thing. And I've had so many of those moments where I'm like, I'm doing my own thing. Fuck Nikki and Gabby. And then when I get the right amount of space away from it, I do find myself missing it mm-hmm. and wanting to create for fun. But I think that's, like, the key there. It's like, also, videos will fall flat if it feels forced.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, it's just, in order to keep that thing oiled and going, we have to really be in tune with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, we got a new team, but our team, like, made us, like, keep pumping it out
mm-hmm.
because they were benefiting. And we were just,
we were so young.
We were technically child stars.
Yeah.
That's what I'm realizing. Like, we got a business manager at 18.
Which is insane.
We didn't have to do anything
mm-hmm.
except make our little videos. And
which we're making so much money.
Yeah.
Were your parents like, what the heck?
Yeah. Like, now looking back, I'm just like, I have empathy for how much shit flew at me, and I did the best I could. I understand why my mental health deteriorated. It's like, at first I was like, great, this is great. And then all of a sudden, when all my college friends were, reality was hitting them, and they were struggling financially, and they were working all these jobs, they all related to each other, and I had no one to relate to mm-hmm. right then and there. You know, and then people are going to be jealous. I get it. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, well, how does this girl just have this following? And then I felt alienated and I wasn't doing what I loved. And I felt like no one wanted me to get off this wheel. Mm. So I was, and no one did wanted me to do my own finances. Nobody wanted me. They're like, just like basically sit still, look pretty.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it. And I'm like, but I felt crazy. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been till this year that I really do my own everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely have a business mind, I feel.
I thought I did. And then I feel like lately it's been getting better.
Okay.
But I think like I didn't realize how much of a creative I actually am.
I mean, you're definitely creative, but thanks. Like even just with your, I mean, I know the shit you upload is well thought out. Like the
thanks.
Keywords, the search, and I'm sure, right? There was a time where you're probably very strategic with uploading.
I thought I was. And then I started realizing like once like the love is out of it, which lately, like, it's, I told you when I sat here, like, I'm kind of getting a little burnout on my channel. Once, like, the love, and this could be the ADHD in me, but once the love is, like, gone, I can't bring myself to do it. Mm-hmm. And a business person would know that they have to just do it. But I'm very, like, emotionally stimulated. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm trying to like get better at that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you also have a lot more things on your plate now. Like yeah. There was a time where it was just your YouTube channel to focus on. Yeah. Now it's like, okay, you have this house, you have family shit, you're going through personal shit, you also have your music, you know, Nikki and Gabby channel, your own channel. Like that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of mini little businesses and things.
That is a lot. And I didn't see mm-hmm. it that way because we're in our own little bubbles. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like no matter how much I'm struggling, I do feel like, shut the fuck up, you're blessed. So then yeah. I'm like, well, I gaslight course. Myself.
Of course, but your feelings are still valid.
Thanks.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like, a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in 4th place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and 0 sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about Pennsylvania. You're still there.
Yeah.
You moved to LA a few times.
once.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like you're always here. So
I am.
You moved to LA. You hated it.
There was a lot behind that.
Okay. And now you're back in Pennsylvania. I think you're thinking about moving back to LA.
Yeah. So people are always like, Nikki, you're never happy anywhere. But I get how that looks. Like, I understand their side because I was protecting somebody through the whole thing. And that's what my ex hated LA.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I was so in love, and love is blinding. And I'm a cute little hopeless romantic. So I'm like, I'm not going to let a city ruin this. Uh-huh. And when we moved here together, you know, I was trying to like make friends. I got close to people. I even moved to the Valley to be near my YouTube friends. I was going to every influencer, mixer, brand party because I wanted to really build a life out here. My twin, Gabby, at the time closed on a house the same year I moved out here. And at the time,
in Pennsylvania.
Yes. And at the time, I needed to keep doing Nikki and Gabby to sustain the life I wanted in LA. So that meant I had to keep flying every month or every other month to Pennsylvania. And when we were in LA, I could just feel the energy, whether my ex wanted to admit it or not. He wasn't thriving. He wasn't leaving the apartment. He wasn't happy. And it was hard for me because I loved him. It was like hard to watch somebody be unhappy. And a part of me felt guilt. Like, would he be here if it wasn't for me? And I felt like I wanted to I wanted to fix. I'm a fixer. Mm-hmm. And even though my dream was to live in LA, I could tell Gabby didn't want to come out here. He didn't want to be out there. And I felt like I was just being a stick in the mud. So then I decided, obviously, because of all that, I wasn't happy either. Mm-hmm. So then me and him both ended up not being happy. Because now looking back, how am I supposed to be happy? I'm never adjusting. I'm never settling. I'm always flying back home. He doesn't want to go out.
You don't have any roots.
I don't. And yeah. And it's just I was always alone drinking my coffee. My vlogs were me alone editing, drinking my coffee. Coffee was the only thing that got me through that time. Mm-hmm. And obviously we were struggling with a lot of other things like an eating disorder and all that. Because again, eating disorders stem from lack of control. And I felt like my life wasn't in my control.
Wow.
So I was controlling it, my appearance.
Uh-huh.
And I moved home. And he drove us across the country because I was scared of flying. Forever grateful for that. And
are you still afraid of flying?
Yeah, but we're prescribed stuff. I'm fine now.
Okay,
yeah. Great. We got proactive with the fear.
I was like, how did you get here?
I do it all the time now. Like, yeah. I have a great, system in place. But, back then, I was scared of taking medication. So I was in my own way. Mm-hmm. Those things are there to help you. And I moved home. And instantly, I did regret it. And I was very depressed, and then I put out Sad Holiday because I was depressed, and then pandemic happened, and I was like, wait a second, I'm kind of happy I'm home for this lockdown, and then ironically, I had my music career actually start happening from Pennsylvania, which was weird, because I had always thought I had to move to LA to make it happen.
To do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love that.
Yeah.
Someone that's living in Podunk, USA, like us, right, at one point or another, and they want to be an artist. Do you think they can just start being a musician, you know? Okay, elaborate on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It almost makes you cooler. You can almost get a fan base that way stronger that supports you because you're one of them. And there's streaming platforms. There's websites like Sound Better that can connect you to a producer where if you have lyrics and you describe what you want the sound to be, they will literally – I'm dating a producer – she works on Sound Better.
No way.
So you literally can have a song made virtually. You can get a distributor for, I think, free. They'll definitely take a little bit of a percentage of a song you put out, but it's like you don't have to pay anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can literally make something from your basement. And that's why music's getting harder, because a lot of people are realizing how easy it is to be an artist and you can put it out there.
Mm.
And now with TikTok, it's the time. Now is the time if you want to do it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But with that being said, there's 100,000 songs uploaded every single day. So that's the competition you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. As an charting artist, as an independent artist, it's the most competitive it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And because of streaming, the only way to make your coin is, merch and touring. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Now, as an artist, you have to do social media. Mm-hmm. Labels, every meeting I've took, you need to – I've been in, mini label deals. You have to be your own social media marketer now. They're not going to put someone in the label. They're not going to assign you a person. You have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the TikTok. It has to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, me being a YouTuber and having this background is helping me being an independent artist.
Oh, absolutely.
Because to be an artist now, you have to be on social media.
Well, and it's not weird for you to upload, like, stuff promoting your shit because you've been doing that your whole life, like, uploading your life.
But at the same time, I think I am burnt out on that end.
I get it.
So now it's like I thought I was entering this different new thing, and I love putting out music. But I think the part that's annoying, and I think every artist will relate, is the promoting yourself feels so cheeky and pushed and annoying. And it's like you see everybody that's just like, you scroll by artists and you're like, they're sitting there with a gun to their head.
Yeah, it seems like that sometimes.
Because mm-hmm. you can't create that natural moment if it's forced.
Is there any artist that you look up to that you think does a great job promoting their stuff?
I guess like Olivia O'Brien.
I was thinking her too.
Yeah, she's just really real.
She's really good.
She's real. Mm-hmm. And like, I think like Zolita.
Oh, yes. I love her.
Yeah.
Do you know her sister? Luna is a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love seeing her. Sisters thrive, especially in like the things that they're strong at. But yeah, I love
her music videos.
Yes.
Zolita's. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So good.
I just love when people seem like they're having fun with TikTok and it's not like serious or forced. Sometimes I even see like influencers where it feels like there's a gun to their head. It's like that vibe is like, I hate that because I guess because I'm an artist. Like, and that's why I'm telling you, I thought I was more businessy because there's things I could be doing different and better to help myself, but I just can't bring myself to do it if it's not authentic.
Well, I think that's good though, because you're staying true to yourself.
Yeah.
I have a special request though. Your brother, you said, is starting to do DJing.
Yeah.
What, does he make his own beats? You guys should collab.
He's learning. I would love to.
That would be so sick. Like, it's giving Zed and Maren Morris. That would be awesome.
My brother, I love him.
You should totally sing on, like, a crazy EDM beat or something.
Everyone's been saying that. So who I'm dating, Julianne.
Yeah.
Shout out
Julianne.
We love her. She's on a very popular song called Oxygen.
Excision. Gosh. Okay.
So at all these big raves and music festivals, she has a diehard fan base.
Shut up.
There's like thousands of people in the audience crying like on things. Like,
wait, that's hilarious.
And they're like, we love Julianne. Like, and it's like, she doesn't, I'm like, come on, like do more EDM. Her voice is so good.
I didn't know she actually sings.
She's an artist too, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Okay, tell me a little bit about the origin story of you and Julianne.
I've never done this. This is new. But
you don't have to if you don't want to.
Honestly, like, I will keep the like details of our relationship private because I learned with
absolutely.
My last, but it's, I hate the whole like secret thing. Like everybody's like knows, you know, she was definitely like, was really quickly becoming my best friend. And then I started noticing.
Was she your producer?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not my go-to producer. Like I had an executive producer on my project. This was just, I actually met her as a songwriter. She was songwriting a session. And then my producer was my producer. We met virtually first, writing on nights alone. Didn't think anything of it. I actually, like, we didn't follow each other. Like, nothing came of it. I just remember thinking she was really hot, but, like, we didn't really click.
Okay.
And then I met her in person for a songwriting session. And, like, literally right away, there was a vibe.
Really?
Yeah. But I didn't act on, because girl, and I was in a relationship, and I'm being, like, no, Nikki.
And she's the first girl you've dated?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, the way that whole thing went was I kept gaslighting myself. I was like, no. And then eventually I started being like, Nikki, be honest with yourself. Just fucking be honest with yourself. And then eventually we had to address, what is this? What's going on? What's
really?
This vibe? Let's talk about it.
So did you kind of bring that up?
I was so not wanting to.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I didn't want to change my life. Like I told you, I was very comfortable. I didn't want, because I knew that would unravel a lot of things I was hiding in my closet. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a mutual thing. And like, we were like, we just have to talk about this. Communication is key.
Oh my gosh.
I had to talk. There was a lot of changes I made in my life. And honesty is the best policy. And I just had to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be honest to everybody. And it was so hard because it was like, I always played it safe. I was the kid in my family where, like, my parents knew Nikki's the one we can rely on. Nikki's a hard worker. Nikki does the right thing. She makes the right decisions. But for the first time, I was becoming the rebel in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my aesthetic always looked like I was a bad girl, we never were a bad girl.
Yeah.
This year, I felt like I was being a bad girl. Not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. I think I was actually learning real selfishness. oh my God, I've seen a different side of my parents. Like, I got close to them this year. I never used to ever be close to my parents. I almost feel like me being closeted was why I wasn't close to them. Because really? I knew if they got too close, they'd probably, like, figure it out.
Uh-huh.
I think I actually kept a lot of people far away. And I feel like I always told myself I would take it to the grave because I was like, Nikki, thank God you can also be into men. Like, I'm bi, pan, still mm-hmm. unsure. I definitely think pansexual I'm leaning towards. But mm-hmm. I also hate labels. But I definitely feel like I was like, as long as you end up with a guy, you don't – why go through that?
Mm.
Because also people that like both genders – are invalidated constantly. Like, if I'm with a guy, I'm called hetero, and that I just like girls for attention, or it's a phase, or that it'll be a phase that'll end soon. And if I'm with a girl, I'm a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate that. Mm-hmm. And I also think growing up in a conservative,
oh my gosh,
I don't think my town's conservative anymore, which is great, which mm-hmm. is why I've been able to keep living there.
Mm-hmm.
But back when I was in high school, it was definitely conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember I was in Catholic school. I did dance class. I was around girls. We're always changing. And everyone always talked about, like, ew, could you imagine if someone was a lesbian in this room? Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, sitting there, like, why do I feel like I could be? And that, why is that hurting me? And, like, I would throw myself into a panic. And, like, I was feeling that way for so long.
When is your first memory of realizing that? Like, what if I'm a lesbian?
Like, seventh grade.
Really? And you yeah. remember, like, the moment?
Yeah. I was, like, watching my fans. Was America's Next Top Model.
It, iconic.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't know if you remember, like, Cycle 5, Kim Stoles. I'm, like, one
maybe
of the,
if
like,
I saw a photo.
I'm, like, this verified account following this, like, random girl from America's Next Top Model. And she just had a kid. I'm, like, literally a creep.
No, it's fine. It's normal.
But that was, like, the moment where I think leading up to it, I was kissing my friends, practicing kissing. I wanted every sleepover to turn into kissing. I was definitely that girl where I would kiss my friends. But I was always like, you're no, no. And then, like, I think when I was watching that show, it hit me, like, you're into girls.
Really?
And I had, like, a panic. But then I, like, let myself dive into it a little bit. And then high school came and we just pretend that side didn't exist.
Okay. Who was the first person you told?
Like, that, hey, I'm bi.
Yeah.
My friend Rachel in 2020.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And yeah. When did you come out to your parents? What was that like?
I never had, like, a mom, dad, I'm gay talk.
Oh, okay.
I felt like I couldn't because I felt, not that they're judgy, I just felt uncomfortable still with myself. I had a lot of internalized homophobia I had to mm-hmm. work through just from being in Catholic school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, like, both sides of my family are very old-fashioned, like, my grandparents are from Italy. My mom's parents are from Cuba. My parents are first generation in, like, the U.S.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know yeah. that.
So, like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, like, 50% Cuban, 50% mm-hmm. Italian. But, like, my abuela couldn't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just so old school. So, mm-hmm. like, and they're dentists. Like, mm-hmm. I already had a weird career. I already posted, like, Savage Fenty pictures. I feel like I've already given.
Yeah, Fenty. Like. My, Savage Fenty threw them over the
like,
edge.
They're scrolling through their Instagram feed, seeing my areolas through my lingerie. Like, I already feel like I'm giving them a heart attack.
Did they ever say, because there were a few times when I started posting. It's funny. Before I was, like, a creator and I would post, like, in a bikini, I would always get a text or a phone call from my parents. Now that I'm a creator and make money from it, they don't say shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so all I had to do is be making money this entire time?
I know. They heard about my Savage Fenty deal, so they laid off. But I just already know, like, it's making them uncomfy. So...
Were they ever like that? Like, hey, can you...
My dad.
Okay.
And I always felt like, Dad, stop looking. I'm your daughter. Like, but dads will be dads. Like, they don't...
I mean, I get it. Like, to some yeah. extent. Like, if I were a dad, I'm trying to, like, put myself in their shoes.
I know.
Like, yeah, that's their baby girl.
Well,
whatever.
Also, like, my dad is so... lives in fear where... I mean, I get my anxiety from him. He's always trying to think, like, if for some reason you don't want to continue doing this job, you can't have pictures of yourself like that out there.
Oh.
Because he always saw... He did see my creative behind-the-scenes uh-huh. shit. He always says, like, you're going to do this and something else. He always knew. So he's, like, always looking out. He's – my dad's a businessman.
Okay.
Yeah. My mm-hmm. mom's definitely more laid back. But, yeah, I definitely – my parents, I just kind of – at a show one day, I helped a girl come out, and I was running around the stage with, like, a rainbow flag talking about me coming out, and that's how they, I think, kind of
okay.
heard it.
And they – were they super supportive?
My dad was just like – why did you do that? Are you? He was like, are you? I'm like, Dad, yeah, I sat on the stage. I had come out that year, so. And it was, my ex's parents were in the audience, so it's like, my dad was like, why did you do that if they were there? I'm like, well, because at the time, like, there are still those girlies in relationships mm-hmm. where they didn't feel mm-hmm. ready enough to come out until they were unconditionally loved and supported by a partner. And then just because you weren't ready to come out back then doesn't mean there's still skeletons in your closet. And those people deserve to feel unconditional love for who they really are. And just because you're not actively dating the same gender doesn't mean you didn't, and doesn't mean you are attracted to that. And I think those people should feel like, whether you're in a hetero relationship, if you're bi and pan and you're ready to say it online, you're still an ally or a part of the community. Say it. Like, yeah. Go ahead. You mm-hmm. didn't. Like, I feel bad for millennials because it's like, it's great to see Gen Z like so open mm-hmm. and like we're on the road to coming out not being a thing anymore, which is mm-hmm. great. And like mommy, daddy, daddy being so normalized, which is great. But like, I think our generation felt like we really couldn't. I don't know if you remember in high school, but like there was derogatory words being like queer insults were being used as a normal joke to call people.
Oh my gosh.
I won't even say it.
No, but it's like, insane.
It was so normal when we were in high school.
Yes.
Like 10 years ago was a different time, and I know you always hear people talking about that. Mm-hmm. It's no excuse, but it was a normal time. Like mm-hmm. the girls in student council would be using that word, and they were the goody two-shoes. Like yeah. it was a literal
it
different time.
It was almost normalized. Yes. Yeah. It just was a different, and it sounds so archaic even saying it was a different time, but it was.
No, but like I heard those things, and that's why I was in the closet, and that's why people thought
I can't imagine how it affected some people.
Bitch.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I definitely, like, I self-harmed a lot.
Oh my God, it's awful.
Yeah.
Awful, awful,
I had the most depressing Tumblr, which showed how I really felt.
Yeah.
I
classic Nikki yeah. expressing through art.
Yeah. I was definitely a real, like, Tumblr girl mm-hmm. when I, like, yeah, the long hair when I started YouTube. I was, like, into, like, Marina and the Diamonds mm-hmm. and American Apparel.
I love. What advice would you give someone who was in your, maybe they're in your situation now and they're like, I am scared to come out. So, some people know, like, I don't know how to approach this with my family or my parents. Like, what tips or advice would you give them?
So ironically, like, we think Gen Z is like all out. That's not the case, because yeah, there's some Gen Z kids who go to public school or they live in a city or in a skirt outside of the city where they feel like they can be themselves, or they go to like an art school. But there's still those homegirlies and homeboys that go to Catholic school in mm-hmm. small towns where they are living our reality. That still exists. Like mm-hmm. old school is still going on. Like the internet doesn't always mean everything.
Not at all.
In small towns, sometimes it's like a time machine. You go back and you're like, it really doesn't feel like 2023 here. It feels mm-hmm. like 2010. Mm-hmm. And
I even get, like, when I go home and let's say I was wearing like a mini skirt, like I would get some looks, like, heaven forbid. And it's like crazy. I'm like, wow, that's crazy that bothers you that much.
Yeah.
You know? And it's yeah. about what I'm wearing, let alone anyone's beliefs or sexuality or anything. Like, yeah. that's crazy.
It feels like a time machine. And I feel like those people are going through what I went through. And my advice is feel safe. Do what you have to do to feel safe. Because I think a part of why I was so secretive is because it was my survival mode. Mm-hmm. And, like, once people, like, you don't want to become a target, like, obviously do you, be you, but like, do it when you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I found myself living for the comfortability of others, because then I was more accepted in like my boyfriend's household, because I've dated men, like, I always wanted their parents to like me. Mm-hmm. My friends' parents, I always wanted them to like me, so I was invited places. I wanted to be accepted by teachers, by parents, and I knew that if they knew I was out, they'd be like, oh, that little gay girl, mm-hmm. like, no, she can't come around, we don't want our daughter to be gay. So it's like, I just wanted so badly to be accepted. And my advice is, like, also put your comfortability before other people's, mm-hmm. because then you're a shell of yourself living for other people. But what's the point? Because it's your life. Mm-hmm. And then you can't manifest your dreams and what you really want out of your life if mm-hmm. you're just catering other people.
Exactly. And people will love the real you. Yes. You just have to find them.
So there were those people when I did come out that were like, Nikki, we knew. And that was relieving because it's like, wait, but you still loved me.
And were there people that surprised you with their reaction that you were really worried about what they were going to think?
My boyfriend, obviously, because like we were intimate. Like,
yeah.
So, and I told him, I said, this is going to come as a big shock to you because we were intimate. So like, I'm just going to tell you. And I'm very aware you're going to have questions and I'm ready to answer them. But like, and it was just one random morning in the summer 2020 after a pandemic, brushing our teeth. And I told him, and at first he was like, really? Like, and then he hugged me and said, you know what? I think I knew.
Really?
So everybody always knew, but I think at first he was like, really? Are you sure? Which is normal because like that's the person, like they see you being intimate and they're like, oh, they're into it.
Yeah.
But they could be into everything, you know? So.
I mean, how cool of him to be so accepting, especially in that situation, because that's, I'm sure, a hard pill to swallow. I if my partner were, you know, I mean, that would be hard.
Yeah, because I
to
think
accept at first,
the problem
maybe.
Was the problem, and this is where I have so much empathy for where we both were at. Because, like I say, neither I don't think either of us. He's not a bad person. I'm not a bad. I know I'm not a bad person, but I think it's really hard to date when you're still coming of age, when you're still figuring out who you are.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And like, I think that like, okay, he was great when I came out, but it's like, where do we go from here? What do we do with that information? Because it's like, I technically didn't get to experience that, but we were in love. And I also felt like I was really young to be making really big sacrifices in my self-growth. And it's like, if I don't live me now, I will probably have a midlife crisis when I have kids. And I don't, I already lived through trauma. I want to be like the most healthy, like not perfect, because perfect doesn't exist. That's my perfectionism popping up. But I want to be such a healthy parent that got everything out of her system and can show up for the life I create.
That's really cool. That's cool that you're even thinking like that, because I empathize, because my parents divorced later in life and I can't even imagine just like anything even more than that. Like, because it's just hard. It's weird seeing your parents. You're like, I thought I knew you.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool that you're thinking about your future kids.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
I'm sorry that, like, you went through that. Like,
it's okay.
It's, that shit's hard.
It is.
And, my parents never divorced, but there was a phase where they were talking about it.
I feel like there's always a phase.
Yeah, there's always a phase. And, like, us kids were involved in, like, picking sides and, like,
that's not cool.
Yeah, and like the fighting was so bad in my house. And then there's, once we all got older, we all developed our own opinions and everybody has a temper in my household. So my home wasn't a safe space, which is why I created YouTube and my, this place to run away to. And my high school wasn't a safe place because I couldn't be myself. So that's why we created the internet. The internet was the best thing to happen to me. But then now I'm realizing, now that I'm creating this, like, I'm painting my life how I want it to be, I feel like now I don't have the desire to run away to the internet as much. And that's what I'm like, Nikki, we got to be motivated somehow. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and also it seems like now you have this awesome person in your life you can really confide in and talk to. And that's what a partnership is all about, is like being there for the high highs, the low lows, at least to me. And you seem really happy with her. So I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about music.
Yeah.
Your EP is dropping, or it dropped.
It dropped, yes.
Ruined My Life. I'm obsessed. Talk to me a little bit about it.
So I feel like like I said, I had my life like so together at a young age, like child star vibes, very comfortable at a young age, but that enabled me to not ever like push and grow and like try new things and get out of PA or try music or date girls. I was just like, with my blue hair, living on this hamster wheel. And I feel like...
With my blue hair.
With my blue hair, the blue babes. And then I felt like walking away from love was the hardest thing I ever did. And I questioned myself along the way because I loved him.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was the start of the domino effect. And that I think I knew that that walking away would create a domino effect, which is why I held up for so long. But I questioned my sanity. My parents questioned me. I bring home a girl. I stop posting on Nikki and Gabby in 2022. I start traveling. I start just like doing things that are very not like me.
Like what?
Just like going to Milan Fashion Week, deciding to go the day before.
Mm, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Living on the edge.
But iconic.
We're not going to get there yet because it's a little dark, but like abusing substances.
Ooh, yeah.
I was just trying to get through this because I knew that I had to make these changes, but I knew it wasn't going to be easy. And I just started being like impulsive. And then I took my ex's name off the house because we broke up. And why would you have an ex own a house with you? Mm-hmm. That broke my heart. It took me months to come.
Did you buy the house?
I ended up doing it by myself.
Wow.
And the whole thing, that wasn't even the intention. Like, the house purchase was for my ex because we'd been stuffed in an apartment during the pandemic for so long. And he's a drummer. And, like, he wanted to – he had his reasons. You make sacrifices in relationships. Mm-hmm. I don't regret making that. It shows me that I'm willing to compromise. Mm-hmm. I feel like I did make a bad decision in, like, following through with it when I didn't feel solid on that decision. When you buy a house, you should know for sure that you want to buy a house. Mm-hmm. But I agreed and then I backed out. And that was one of my biggest regrets. And I am like, to this day, I'm so sorry about that. Like, to everyone I've hurt in that process. But at the end of the day, I feel like once I put it in my name, I realized without getting married, we would have been married by the house. Because if we were to break up, upon that breakup, I would have to pay him a quarter of the house.
Which is crazy.
Up front.
Yeah.
And be in debt with an ex. So it's like, even if we try to work on things, I was like, we can't own the house together. Mm-hmm. So I basically ruined my life. Everyone was like, you're ruining your life. Everyone was telling me you're ruining your life. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing these songs.
Who was telling you that?
Relatives. Mm-hmm. People were saying, I'm worried for you. You're going to regret this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be here when you come back. Threats.
Really scary for you?
Yeah. I had this like intuitive feeling my whole life. And I knew that I'm 27. Like, obviously, Saturn return vibes. I don't know if you're in astrology, but it made sense.
Saturn return vibes.
It made sense. But I knew that I knew I had to do this or like... I was gonna be miserable. Like, I was gonna always compare my life to everybody because I didn't live my life to my fullest. Mm-hmm. And I was ready to be actually happy and do things differently. I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, and I was living on that cycle of insanity, literally going nowhere. Which song of mine is that? It's like Love and Misery.
Love and Misery.
Yeah, so I'm like, I was in love but miserable, not because of him. I mean... Takes two to tango, but I was miserable because I knew I wasn't being honest with myself. Mm-hmm. And like, you're gonna be miserable if you're not being honest with yourself, period.
So did you start like taking these emotions and like, what does the writing process look like? They're such raw, authentic songs and the lyrics hit different.
Thank you.
They really do. And my favorite's pregame.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just obsessed.
Because you know when you're going through shit, you never, like, you actually let yourself get a little sloppy. Like, the guard's down. And you're like, you know, my real life is really stressful. So we're actually going to have fun tonight. Because I need this fun to get me
and
through the next week.
And it's a party song. Like, I love the beat. It's like, I wish I could use it, like, in my YouTube videos. Like, in a montage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to talk about what's the writing process look like? And how did you channel all of those emotions into a song?
So the writing process, like, is what got me through that year. Mm-hmm. I would show up to these sessions just, like, kind of trauma dumping.
Mm-hmm. What does a writing session look like for kindergartners that don't know anything about this? What does that mean?
So, like, people will A&R a session, whether it's a label or a manager, and they'll connect songwriters to artists and producers, and everybody's like contacts will like connect and then put us all in a room, or you can reach out directly. I actually do reach out directly most of the time, but my manager has put me in some great rooms. I actually wrote with Demi Lovato's boyfriend Jutes, who I didn't know was Demi Lovato's boyfriend when I wrote with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you know what a fangirl.
Yeah.
But we wrote Bitch and Love and Misery together. And like,
I love Bitch too.
I love that's one of my faves I've read.
It's a good one.
Thank you. Basically, I'll sit in a room and like, there's people that are more so lyric people, which is like the songwriters. Mm-hmm. Producers still help with lyrics because like cadence and melodies and like all that stuff. But the producer is like away on a computer. You tell them the vibe you want. They start building the track. You and the songwriters are starting to like come up with concepts. You write usually the chorus first, and then you go into the verses to narrow the like what more you can elaborate on that has to do with the concept. And then the producer shows you a little rough of what they have of the song, and then you try to fit the lyrics into that, and then you tweak the lyrics, and then you keep going, and then eventually the artist puts their voice on it as a demo. Mm-hmm. And then you don't do anything crazy, you don't do harmonies, you don't mix master, none of that happens. And then you sit on it for a little bit, and then you keep doing sessions, and then before you know it, you have like a bunch of songs, and then you get to be selective of what you want on your project. Mm-hmm. And then the ones you choose, they go off to mix and mastering. Sometimes you re-record them with better vocals, better mm-hmm. performance. And then you add all the harms and you add all the fun stuff.
Bells and whistles.
Yeah. And then that's how it all comes to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say you're best at?
Lyrics.
Really? Okay, so when you're coming up with lyrics, is it like, oh, I have this cute little saying or line in my head? Or like, do you have notes full of shit? Like, what does that look like for you?
My strongest songs happen when I walk in the room so like either infuriated or sad or like pregame. I was like, I want to write a party song. Like I have this knowing where I walk in the room and I'm like, this is what I'm writing. Mm-hmm. And but I've also had other songs where I just like I'm in my feels, and that's how Messy Room came out. Mm. Like I'm just like everyone's yelling at me for being messy. Uh-huh. But like I feel like my better songs are when I like have a strong knowing, mm-hmm. and that only comes from being inspired and living life. So sometimes on my hiatuses when I'm not actively in songwriting sessions, I don't actually get mad at that anymore, because I'm like, this living life is going to give me a strong knowing mm-hmm. to write a song. And if I have the strong knowing, it's going to be a good song. Mm-hmm. But if I don't, then it's like, sometimes I feel like I'm wasting everybody's time just writing my feelings, and then it's like an okay song, you know? But then sometimes, like, Love and Misery was real, though. I walked in there and I was bawling, and I'm like, so it's a mix. It's two approaches. It's like write from your feelings, or write from this, like, you have this concrete idea in your notes that you've been sitting on, that you've been inspired mm-hmm. by from just living your life.
When you're writing lyrics, are you picturing the beat or like the vibe of the song as well?
Yeah, so like I think it's like natural, because like I will go through Spotify for fun. My favorite hobby is like discovering new songs. Mm-hmm. So like I have playlists for everything I do. And a lot of the times people will be like, who's your favorite artist? And I say, I don't have one and I don't know, mm-hmm. because I just have a lot of people I don't really follow as artists, but I like their songs. And I'm more so like, I just pull songs from the internet. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll hear a beat and I'll be like, I'm going to show this beat to a producer, but I want to add guitars and put a Nicki Flair, but this beat is different. Mm. Or it's like you just take little things. But lately, this EP specifically mm-hmm. is totally inspired by music 15, 20 years ago. Like when I like to say when the Disney girls got all angsty.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like I lived for like the Selena, Miley, Demi, Holy Trinity.
Yes.
And like low-key Miranda Cosgrove slapped.
Yes.
Like all I of them loved slapped. Her shit. I wanted to make like adult like versions of that kind of like cheeky, like, you know, just
okay
girl songs, but also like real breakup songs. So like that's mm-hmm. where like the Avril popped out, because I'm like, I grew up on like Who Knew by Pink and like When You're Gone by Avril Lavigne. And mm-hmm. it's like I wanted to make that main character depressed songs for the girlies going through their main character sad moments. We always talk, I feel like, talk about main character too.
Yes.
Like I want the people that listen to my music to be the main character.
Well, one of my favorite things about you is like in regards to YouTube, you are so good at making like the dumbest shit interesting. Like you literally, that's what makes you a good YouTuber.
Thank you.
You're literally in the middle of like bumfuck Pennsylvania. You're like, you make going to Dunkin' Donuts a literal feature film. Like, and I'm like, wait, why am I getting teary-eyed about this like caramel frappuccino? Do you know what I mean? Like you literally you're so good at storytelling.
Thank you.
Which is probably why you're good at writing lyrics, because you're so good at like making you feel something you didn't even know you could like tap into. Same with Gabby, maybe. Honestly. Like she, bumfuck Pennsylvania, she's in a limo going to Applebee's. And I'm like, okay, slay. right? Is she not? I mean, it's like...
She just uploaded a Christmas in July vlog.
No, it's... she did. I need to watch. I need
to
watch.
You have to watch the next fancy vlog.
I need to watch. Because you guys are so good at making small shit, like, exciting, which is, like, that is beautiful. Making something... Because that's what we were... That's why, like, I relate to you is because, like, you're in the middle of nowhere. You're surrounded by all this corn. You're making this gas station...
All this corn.
...turn into One Oak. Literally.
Thank
Which
you.
Is cool. Which is so cool. You're really good at, like, finding a moment and making it into blossom into something.
I think, like, I really feel so validated right now. Like, I really appreciate you saying this because I love storytelling.
You are a great storyteller.
Sometimes I feel like lately I've been so, like, hard on myself because I'm like, I feel like I'm uploading empty vlogs, and I love having a start, middle, ending, and a purpose. And because my personal life has been kind of a little unhinged, I did take a step back from sharing everything I'm going through because I don't want to seem like a mess, because people would start developing all these opinions and then start putting their opinions out there and labeling me all these things. And I definitely took a little bit of a step back, and I felt like, oh my God, how am I going to still, like, tie everything together and keep it purposeful and, like, mm-hmm. like you're saying, tell a story if I'm just, like, showing me getting ready in New York? Like, I feel like I'm going through, like, a little channel rebirth right now where I think I am going to switch up my content.
Mm-hmm. What are you craving to film or create?
I'm, like, craving, like, real shit, kind of like what I was doing in 2018.
Okay.
Which was, like, talking to other influencers about mental health.
Oh.
Yeah, because, like, I went through a lot this mm-hmm. year, like, from finances to substance problems to a breakup to sexuality.
That's a lot of avenues.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I'm okay, but when I look back at this past year, like, I do feel, like, empathy for myself and, like, I don't know how I got through it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I had health issues because of the substance problem. Mm-hmm. Like, my thyroid and hormones, everything got so fucked.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's, like, then, like, scary. I had, like, a scare with, like, a potential, like, tumor situation. And, like, I just, it's been a lot. Mm-hmm. And then, like.
That is a lot.
And then on top of it, everybody's, like, yelling at me for not living my life right and how I'm an asshole and mm-hmm. how I'm selfish and how I broke a good guy's heart and how like I'm ungrateful for talking about how my mortgage was, like, not what I thought it would be, and it was out of my comfort zone, and I never was a check to check person, and I was living check to check.
Really?
Yeah. And because just because you can close on a house doesn't mean you can afford the monthly mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to let you influencers know, if you're a single income household and self-employed and an influencer, the bank will not cut you any breaks. They want you to pay that mortgage as soon as you can. So they will give you a high rate every single month.
Really?
And that's what I dealt with. Plus, interest rates were at 9%.
Yeah.
Gabby closed on 2%. So the tax on top of everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it put me out of, like, creative mode into I have to survive.
Mm-hmm. Necessity.
And on top of it, everybody was, like, just so mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost started, like, hating my job. And mm-hmm. that's so weird because I love YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But it also was the biggest lesson. Like, I learned, like, you can't please other people for your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had, like, my partner's been great through it all. I've gone through all of that with her there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I mentioned.
Which is awesome that she stuck with you through,
like,
it all.
Like, ride or die vibes, yeah.
I love that. I love the saying, necessity is the mother of invention, because in your case, like, when you don't have money, you fucking figure it out. And it's, like, the mother of invention, like, the mother of a new EP, the mother of a...
Yeah.
Like, you're inspired in some way, shape, or form. What do you feel like going through those tough times made you invent?
I edited my bitch music video all myself.
Okay.
That was not professional.
I love that music video.
It was not professionally done.
That's great.
I went to a beach and I said, I'm going to film 3 music videos in 24 hours. It made me learn how skilled I really am, and it made mm-hmm. me realize I'm really good at being behind the scenes too. And I also feel like I love, like, little photo shoots here and there. I love being creative, but it was fun when I was in my early 20s when I lived at my parents' house. But now that, like, you know, I'm, like, 28, I, like, feel so narcissistic and I fucking hate it. Like, I wish that I could like put food on my table just in a not in a less icky way. I felt like this year I was exploiting myself, and that's where I drew the line. And
interesting. Why do you think you felt that?
Because it was just so, like, I was struggling financially, and I felt like I was product placing, trying to get people to spend their money to keep my things going. And it was just so icky. It was cognitive dissonance. Mm. It was like I'm going against my morals and values just mm-hmm. because I need to survive. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's like so hard to talk about.
No, I empathize with you. Yeah. I think it's so cool how self-aware you were, because a lot of people wouldn't have, I guess, fully, they don't care about
like
others.
I was like telling people to buy something, but in my head I'm like, you don't need this, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about in regards to deals and
it just put, when you're in that type of situation, it takes time to like sell a house or to rent it out, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, it just, I feel like I always prided myself on not taking anything. I didn't, only doing deals I aligned with. But mm-hmm. I think like when you're trying to like stay afloat, like you're gonna take what you can get if that payment's coming up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm so proud of myself for like putting out this EP when like I was struggling like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I'm like what the fuck is happening?
You are so fine.
What the fuck?
I think that's so real. And yeah. I think it's really beautiful that you took such a scary thing and made it into your music today, and clearly it reigns true to you.
Yeah, like I just can't believe I put it out, and like it was a magic situation where like a distribution company like loved what I was doing so much that they like pushed it themselves. Like I didn't have to like go out of pocket for some things, mm-hmm. which were like, it was like the universe works in weird ways, and I wouldn't have been able to continue music this year if I didn't have that.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, but I'm in this like era of like no attachment to anything. I'm not attached to this house. Mm-hmm. I think the house is kind of a little bit of a dead end for creative. Mm-hmm. I think it's great for someone who wants to start a family.
Probably holds a lot of.
Yeah. It's a big responsibility. I'm never home. Mm-hmm. I think a home is a great for somebody who's a homebody. And I think like I closed on the house when being home was the thing during the pandemic. The pandemic confused a lot of people. I think content that started doing well back then was like being home, cleaning, hauls, like
organization.
All people mm-hmm. wanted to do was organize and spend money and resell. And I think like that was doing well. And I closed on my house and felt comfortable enough to close on the house because that was what was working. I didn't know that going through a breakup was going to unravel everything and change my content. And then on top of it, I developed this passion for like traveling and living life and seeing what's out there. But then I had this house, and it's like, but you shouldn't, because mm-hmm. you have to be in it and you have to like take care of it. Mm-hmm. And
I feel even guilty sometimes, like being away from my apartment too long, because I'm like, fuck, I'm paying a lot of money to have this. Like, I feel guilty being away from it. Yeah. Because I'm like, is this stupid that I'm not utilizing every moment in the apartment or in the house?
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt that way at all either, but being on the go and you're not utilizing this major asset you just bought.
I 100% felt that. But I also felt like the more I surrender to this like material thing, I'm going to, as a creative, I'm going to deteriorate. Mm. Like, I need to just be around people like me and just be like creating. Even if, like, money aside, I also realized like how much I love being an artist, and whether it's a music artist or editing or living life and sharing it and getting a message out there, I'm more, that more aligns with me than like having things to show off.
Yeah.
And like, I think that living out of my means taught me a lot, and I'm ready to like, now I know what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's great. You learn a lesson through everything. It was a very hard lesson, but it opened my eyes to what is a lot of people's reality.
What are some of the things that you realized you didn't need, like that you could cut back on?
Shopping.
Really? Okay.
I am so proud of my style right now, because I feel like I'm recycling old pieces and they mm-hmm. look different. And like, I know my whole wardrobe's becoming black, and like, I think I'm just growing up, because mm-hmm. I don't want to buy something that's like a trendy, funky pattern that I'm just going to throw out. Mm-hmm. You know, same. I just want timeless. And I'm learning, like, I don't, like, you can thrift the cutest bag, like, this isn't designer, but this is so fucking cute. Oh, it's so cute.
It also looks like it would be like designer. Seriously.
Totally not. It's Depop. It's like $20.
I love it.
I just feel like I've learned to like how to shop really well, how to find a good deal.
Were you shopping, like, how often were you shopping?
That was like filling a void of that was there because I was unhappy in my relationship and I was stuck inside during the pandemic. I was shopping like every week. Dressing up, I felt like as long as I looked cute and I had a cute new outfit, nothing I was going through could ever be that bad.
Wow.
And now I'm like, I love my things. I love what I have. I feel like I was almost slightly greedy. I feel like I got a lot to share with people. I'm donating a lot of my clothes. Like, I want people to genuinely live in them and be happy in them. I don't need these things that are just hanging in my closet. Mm-hmm. Why am I holding on to these things? Like, I think I got better at that. I think I also realized how much I can do myself and that I was just like paying this person to do this and that because I thought that was like celebrity culture and I thought I had to do it.
Like what?
Like, I used to have a makeup artist for everything and a hairstylist and a stylist. And for the last like year or two, I've been really doing a lot by mm-hmm. myself. And mm-hmm. I used to have an assistant. I don't have an assistant. I do my own calendar. I do my own scheduling. Mm-hmm. I learned to be on time. I've learned like the importance of just, I don't know. I think maybe I wasn't being the best human being and was unaware of it before all this happened. Mm. The things I would talk about, I would complain. Meanwhile, people are like, well, you're lucky you at least have money. Mm-hmm. Like,
complaining about what?
Just like first world problems, like my relationship all the time. Like, my friends definitely had to get annoyed with me. Like, you know, like it's like shit or get off the pot. Uh-huh. I got real problems.
Yeah.
But that's also something I'm learning, is to not gaslight my problems because,
yeah.
Because, like, we all go, what we go through is what we go through, and we can't, like, shame ourselves for going through a hard time, even if it's a different situation than somebody else's. But I don't know. I just feel like this has taught me the value of a penny, how much I really can do on my own, and the importance of what really matters, like, what to really spend your money on.
What is worth spending your money on?
Memories.
Okay.
Like, I think. What? Like, for me, it's like, if I know I'm not going to see people that matter the most to me, I think buying a flight to see them is worth every fucking penny. Mm-hmm. I also think that, like, what's worth spending your money on is, like, things you know you're going to use again and again. I sound like a parent.
No, it's fine. I love it. This is good. People need to hear this.
Like, also, like, nails. I used to like do like the craziest things, but like your little like mom and pop nail salon can do still a slay job.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I learned how to do a lot myself. I think that's like the one thing I realized. Mm-hmm. I would blame my ADHD for like why I was kind of just a messy, sloppy human being, and like now I'm unmedicated. I just decided to get off of them, off my medication, and like I have to hold myself accountable now. Mm-hmm. And I have to like I know I tend to take my time and be really slow and just not aware of time management, so I have to be like really disciplined. I guess my self-discipline has gotten good. Mm-hmm. I'm still like not like in a perfect place, but like I think that I think I had to go through this to actually end up being a good parent one day.
Yeah.
I was literally a child. I look back at my old vlogs and I'm like, oh my God, she was like in her own little world. Like, mm-hmm. na-na-na-na. I'm like, what was I vlogging about? Like, I was like in a world that wasn't real.
But yes, but everyone, if everyone was going to vlog, they would think the same thing about themselves. Like, they would be like, what was I doing? What was I thinking? But that's what's so cool about growing up on YouTube, is you can look back and be like, oh my gosh.
I was a child.
That's good that you look back, actually, and you're like, ugh, because that means you've grown up.
Yes.
Right?
I'm like, I was just like happy-go-lucky and ignorant.
Yeah, I mean, we all were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll look back on this and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that we blah, blah, blah. We're complaining about A, B, and C, but that's how life is.
And I have like just so much appreciation for hard workers.
Mm-hmm. What are there some other materialistic things that you just absolutely regret spending money on?
Oh, yeah. Well, clothing is number one.
Clothing?
Yeah. Now I know what to buy that I'm not going to get rid of.
Like, what is that?
Like what I'm wearing today, like you always want a good flannel, you always want jeans, you always, a black corset is always sexy. Mm-hmm. Like I'm very much more like timeless.
Okay.
I love a good Y2K moment, but that's stuff that I know that even in high school, like even during the Tumblr days, I never got rid of it and I'm wearing it again.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it always
what
comes
goes
back.
Around comes around. Everyone's like, Nikki's like buying into the Y2K thing. I actually have real authentic pieces because I was around when that was popular. Yeah. I'm still the same size.
Yeah.
So like, about the Hot Topic belts, like, you know, like, I like to like be very true to like the sophisticated black, a little more grungy, but I like to add fun elements of like fun, cheap little Y2K sunglasses. It's like little flares of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what I like.
What about designer items?
I've actually really tapped out of that world. I couldn't even tell you what the trendy designer thing is right now. I feel like, I guess a Balenciaga bag would be nice. Like a metallic silver Balenciaga bag.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, yeah. That would be cute. I don't know. I feel so not trendy right now.
That's great.
But I feel like, is it? Or am I just choogy?
No, I actually feel like... that's funny. I think choogy is like...
I got the Karen haircut. Goods. People are like... Oh, people are saying that.
I feel like choogy is like live, laugh, love, home
live,
goods.
Live, laugh, love.
Like that, which I love home goods.
We love.
I love home goods.
Okay, so I do have Pennsylvania like nerdy tendencies that okay. like... do make
I mean,
me cheeky.
Same.
I will spend so much money though at Bath and Body Works because I'm aromatherapy. If I have nothing can be that bad if everything smells like pumpkin spice. Like so I love that.
Yeah.
I will always spend my coin on fucking Starbucks and Dunkin'. That is my outing.
Yeah.
I still have those habits. I saw like a TikTok that was like somebody, you know, TikTok listens to you. So like my For You page has been all about like this shit. And some guy was like, I don't care that I don't make enough money. I am getting my pink drink
yes.
every day. And I'm like, slay. And he's like, that's what's going to keep me afloat. Da,
it's
da, da.
The
I'm
little
like,
things.
Let's go.
Yeah. I've yeah. seen that TikTok.
Yeah.
It's so funny. People are hilarious on TikTok.
Yeah. So like.
It's the little things.
It really is. And like, I think I've just gotten better, like where I put my coin, how I spend my coin.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year did make me businessy a little bit. I think like I'm working on it. I actually think I gave the energy I was businessy, but now looking back, I was so ignorant and I let myself be ignorant because I was so anxious. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like a lot more in control.
It sounds like you had your quarter life crisis a little late.
Yeah.
Like, I just got out of mine. We were just talking about this. But did you feel like you ever had an actual quarter life crisis? Because
no.
I feel like this was probably
bitch.
It.
Like, I was like, and I'm yeah. still like.
But that's okay. Most people go through a crazy transformation, but whatever. You went through a lot. But I will say that it's normal. Like, to go through a complete 180.
I know. Sometimes I get scared I'll, like, miss my old life because, like, it was cute and it was easy. And I have fears, you know, but. Everyone I've seen so far says I am a different person and that like this is I just did get my makeup done today. Okay, we did it because I was like, why not?
It looks great.
Thank you.
It looks great.
But my yeah, her name's Nova. I love her. She came and last time she saw me was like March 2022 and she was like, you're so different. And I'm like, how?
That's good.
She's like, you're calm. I'm like, me calm?
Me and calm in the same sentence, huh?
I never was. So I
love
guess,
it.
I guess like I am, I know I'm making the right decisions, but they're just not easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you performing live anytime soon?
Yes.
When? Where?
End of September, but I can't announce yet.
Oh, okay. End of September?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles?
Around. I'm doing some shows.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. I want to
yeah.
come.
I would love for you to come.
Please
like,
invite me.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be, these shows are going to be so different because... Mm-hmm. My old music was very bedroom pop, very sad, but still like cute. But like these songs are like epic. They're like bitchy
yes.
and angry and like confident and fun. And I'm so excited to channel that even in like my wardrobe and like it's going to be a party, I feel like.
Oh my gosh, for
like,
sure.
Like let's ruin our life, like ruin my life
yeah.
tour. Like
I feel like you need to somehow, I mean, this is just like very Nikki already, but you know how like with eras, everyone's like making their eras outfits? Like you need to like make it
have
like
a blue
my Nikki
night.
Outfit. Yeah, you should like do themes or something. That would be so fun.
I think I saw Olivia O'Brien doing that.
Oh, really?
It's really cute. She's
wait,
like-
I love that.
Yeah, like, yeah, eras is a thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go this week. We'll see. She's coming this week.
I wish I wasn't going home.
Obsessed. Okay, so you are performing live. What's it like performing live?
It feels like I'm a little kid again, just having fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like I knew it was going to feel that good, which is why I worked so hard to like be able to put out enough music to have the audience to do the live shows. It's like so much better than, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's such a better feeling than just like living at home and posting a video.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a theory that I don't feel at home anywhere because I'm supposed to be doing that and living on the road.
Oh.
I don't think I'm meant to be somewhere long term. I don't, when I'm somewhere too long, I don't like it.
Have you read Daisy Jones and the Six?
I watched the show.
Okay, I feel like you need to read the
I've
books way better.
To her. Like in the show, I'm like, she's choosing the non conventional. Like,
yeah,
that's me. Like, you know, sometimes I have moments where I'm like, oh, like, are you good? And I'm like, Nikki, you knew you weren't conventional. Don't backpedal.
Mm.
I'm not a conventional person. Like, not like the other girls. No, we are like the other girls. But no, I love performing.
Do you have any pre-show rituals you always do?
We won't talk about the other one, but my new one is going to be probably like breath work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I have a breath work app.
I love that. Is it something someone told you to do or where'd you find this?
My partner.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Cause she struggles with anxiety. Like mm-hmm. I've been having panic attacks all year. I haven't had them since like eighth grade. So like it's like where you feel like you can't breathe and you mm-hmm. wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like
so scary.
Yeah, it's horrible. But like I think like my heart rate picks up and then I don't know what to do. And but once I'm on stage, I'm literally good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the whole like build up leading up to it that's like fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure learning all about your new EP, Ruined My Life. Where mm-hmm. can everyone find it?
Spotify, streaming services like Apple Music, all that stuff,
and follow you so they don't miss out on the show.
Yeah,
hopefully. Yes,
yeah, yeah, follow me on all socials. Also, if I'm like blowing up your TikTok with my self promo, like I genuinely apologize.
No, you know what, we get it. You gotta get your coin somehow.
Yeah, and just like exposure too. It's like,
yeah,
I know, like I want to reach people that relate to this, you know, and the For You page does its thing for real. So even if they're not like doing crazy, at least they'll reach who they're supposed to reach.
Yeah. True.
And yeah, I guess also my single Bitch is on the Salt playlist on Spotify.
And it's almost at number one, right?
Yeah.
Did it get to number one yet?
No.
Okay.
But it's just there. So like
Everyone stream
it on that playlist because...
What does the Salt playlist mean?
Like, so alternative.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah. I didn't know what it meant either.
Okay. I was like, what does this mean?
And then, like, Alone in My Car was on Fresh Finds for a long time.
That's amazing.
And then eventually I became the cover. So it's like, I mean, I'm not expecting anything because this whole music, you can never predict it. And mm-hmm. everyone deserves a chance because it's fucking hard out there mm-hmm. with how much competition. But it would be really cool to like keep that on that playlist and like keep streaming it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, also watch the music video.
The music video is amazing,
YouTube's
guys.
YouTube's flagging it because it's called Bitch. So it's like underperforming.
Oh my gosh.
But it's okay.
YouTube.
It's because they're getting all like friendly with like young kid friendly because like TikTok.
There was one video you did and it was to promote, I forget what song, maybe Pregame, but it was like a minute long video or like a minute and 30 seconds and you like edited, I don't know what the hell it was. I was like, this is so fucking good. It wasn't a music video and it wasn't a lyric video, but it was like promoing your song. It's on your channel. I was watching it last night.
Oh, like the trailer, the EP trailer?
Maybe it was the trailer. Yes.
Was it Ruined My Life or Nights Alone?
I think Ruined My Life. That was, did you edit that?
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, that was amazing.
Thank you.
You should put that on TikTok.
Let me edit for you.
Oh, please. Please. Like, you have time.
No, like, I genuinely love editing. Like, that's like my little nerdy thing.
And last question is, what are you doing in your life to make moves right now?
Make moves. Move.
Move.
Yeah,
move.
I'm getting out.
Moving to LA?
Yeah. LA, New York. I don't know. I'm just not supposed to be in that town anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Okay. And you don't know which coast?
I don't.
Okay.
I just get seasonal depression on the west, on the east coast, not on the west coast.
Yeah.
But Gabby's over there and I love being near my sister, but also like got to fly my wings. So we're figuring it out. My partner lives here, but we're always back and forth. Like we're just non-conventional. We're committed to that non-conventional mm-hmm. thing. So it doesn't, I'm not letting that like steer my decision because we are
fine.
Yeah. So yeah. I just am still trying to just figure it out. I just know that LA's lately more affordable than New York.
Oh, for sure.
Like, what? I was looking at Zillow and I'm like, like, for like a one bedroom, like $6,000 a month. I'm like, that's actually crazy.
Oh, no, it's insane. And in New York, too, trying to get like a washer and dryer and AC, it's like a whole thing.
So, like, I get why I've stayed in PA. Like, it slays the prices there, mm-hmm. but my mortgage doesn't.
Oh.
But I do think LA is giving.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving.
Well, if you're downtown, you kind of get that New York feel.
I love it. Mm-hmm. But it's just walking around. I'm like, what the fuck? But like, we're good. But I love the vibe. I feel like in my hotel room, I'm looking out the window and I can see into other people's apartments and they have like abstract art on the walls. Yeah. This cool like circle pendant light.
When do you leave? You should come see my apartment.
Oh my God. I leave tomorrow. Okay. But I would come totally over. Come by. Yeah.
Come over. Anyway, everyone go follow Nikki. Don't miss out. Stream her music. Let's get her number one on Salt. And follow her everywhere. It's just what? Nikki everywhere?
Nikki on Instagram, but Nikki DeMar everywhere else. 1K, mm-hmm. NikiDeMar.
Love it. Love you so much. Thank you so much
so
for
nice
coming.
To be here, yeah.
And be sure to make someone else's day this week, you guys. Love you.
Mwah.
Peace.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.